favorable to resuming the opportunity, but this time around, we got that, and I have it filed, and if I'm around in 5 years, I'll pull that email up and say, we have the allowance, so we should be good going forward.
You better be around in 5 years.
I do play Lotto, so I that's why I put in. Alright, so moving along, RSA Tech. So as we know, we've received notification from RSA that all vending machines should be of direct benefit to the operator, that the agency should not be receiving any commissions in which does not go directly in the pocket of an operator. No problem. As I tell you guys, whatever we're supposed to do, we're going to do. I have no opposition to that. So, with that being said, Tracy and myself, I kind of started looking at these federal property vending machines, and I tried to come up with some idea as to, okay, how do we flip the profit, the commissions, from our account into the operator's pocket? We got to do it. Not a problem. 102, 103 vending machines at first was concerning to me because I said, well, we have to get in touch with essentially 70 locations and let them know of this RSA priority and notify them and we still do. And it appeared to be essentially more challenging than what I think it needs to be. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to see how much money does the federal property vending machines incur into our program. So on average, and again, this is just an average, I'm looking at commission amounts or profit commissions amounts currently at roughly $5,000-$6,000 a month, right? So essentially, we're looking at, as a whole, these 103 vending machines yield a profit of $60,000. Good money, not a lot, but I mean, good, you know. And so when looking at it in that manner, 103 machines yielding $60,000, it's not a lot because I'm trying to create opportunity for you all. And, you know, first, I kind of looked at it as, well, we can provide one opportunity and just call it a vending route, right, essentially, because Servomation is currently servicing all of the federal vending machines. Okay? Whoever has background noise, please mute your phone. At this time, Servomation is responsible for all of the vending machines on federal properties outside of, obviously, Frank Roberts, who operates at our post office.
Well, there is a couple other areas of the state where there's a couple.
Yes, there is.
Other, yeah.
Yep.
Not complicated. Yeah.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right. So my proposal is, just to get right to it, is that note that the profit is $5,000 to $6,000 a month. I dissected that number, and truth of the matter is, in that $6,000 a month profit, essentially Hartford Post Office and New Haven Post Office make up 66% of that profit. They make up 66%. So my proposal to the committee is, as we know we have to forward these locations or this financial opportunity to your plate, that we, again, propose to Servomation a partnership opportunity to operate micro markets at New Haven Post Office, Hartford Post Office, and then essentially whatever vending machines remain on federal properties, we create that as a vending opportunity for one operator. And then I would say that, and again, these are all just projected numbers, that an operator would be projected to make anywhere from probably, I would say, I'm just throwing out there, anywhere from $1,000 to $1,400 a month in any of the capacities, whether you're in New Haven as a micro market, Hartford in a micro market, or as the overseer of the vending machines on federal property. I would project that's the profitability. It could be more, but I would say at base minimum would probably be at least $1,000 in any three of the given opportunities. That's my proposal to the committee to moving forward with that opportunity.
This is Brandon. I'd just like to add to what Tyrell said. Franca and I have been looking at this as well on how to make this into viable sites for everyone. And it seems we originally were just going to split it into two and propose that, but I think that the three is definitely a good thing. And I would say $1,000 is on the low end of what each one of these sites makes. So maybe in their dead season, they're going to make $1,000 each a month. Mm-hmm. But realistically, they can make upwards of $3,000 in some instances.
Correct. And again, I always like to just provide the lower number because you just never know. But to Brandy's point, correct. I would say it should make more, but I don't know. These are all projected numbers, subject to change. Again, we're looking at vending machine numbers. Once you turn something into a micro market, statistically, it's supposed to do better than vending. So, you know, yeah, it could definitely do $1,800 a month each location, no question.
So, question about the rest of the vending. Obviously, New Haven and Hartford, it's a given. We already understand the partnership with that. How does the vending part of it work? With the funds, would it still be RSA approved for you guys to continue to receive the commissions and then pass them on to the operator? Or does the transaction have to be strictly between, like I said, not just Servomation, but Servomation and the other two companies with that operator?
Right, and that's a good question. I think that's something that down the line we'd have to figure out. I would say, it's my personal thought that, and I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I would say that Servomation would essentially, you would be doing direct business with Servomation, right? Because you're kind of removing the responsibility off of the program's plate. So those commissions would not be, okay, so let me double back and say this, that going forward, that the commissions derived from any of these locations will no longer be, will no longer funnel through our statewide contract. So this does interrupt our current contract, and I do believe Pepsi is probably going to, unfortunately, be slightly displeased with this because we haven't discussed this with them, and it's not like I'm beating around the bush to have the conversation. It's kind of, I want to first establish our position as to what our plan of action is, and then I can go to Pepsi and say, per RSA, because this, you know, this pact came out after our agreement, this is what we're required to do as a program. So, you know, this isn't us, you know, having something in our back pocket that we held out on not notifying Pepsi. That's not the case. We got this after this, you know, the setup of the contract. So I would assume that Servomation would be your partner, and therefore they would, you know, be paying you the commissions through the vending in whichever, you know, in whichever amount you agree to. Because you would definitely need a partnership. This is not an opportunity where the agency is going to buy 72 vending machines, and because these machines are across the state. So this is a big deal. This isn't anything that, you know, would appeal to any, or should appeal to anyone to want to directly vend themselves. You know, you're vending me. Yeah.
Sorry, this is Shelley. Question. For the Hartford and New Haven locations, do they have to go through Servomation? Couldn't somebody just do it in the building or be responsible for the building?
I would strongly suggest Servomation be a partner, especially in those buildings, because post office locations run three shifts. In addition, post offices, their unions are very strong, and what you offer for one shift, you got to have for all three.
Yep.
And so with that being said, like in other instances with the micro market setups we have now, where we're pushing operators to offer fresh coffee, fresh pastries, and so forth, you couldn't build your business in there because you'd have to be there all three shifts to offer fresh coffee, fresh pastries. You know, could an operator run their own micro market? I suppose
that... No. I wasn't talking about the micro market. Well, it kind of. Does it have to have a micro market in there? Couldn't it just be straight vending that it already is, and it just be under a person's name?
I was just going to say it could be, but based on the numbers that they're producing, if we could make more money with a micro mart, an operator could make more money with a micro mart, so it makes sense to try to run the micro mart instead and give an operator more of an opportunity overall. And that person in the Hartford and New Haven would still have some vending machines attached to their contract as well that are outside of the post office in the way that I looked at the split of where the machines are and how they go. So I think partnering with somebody would be the best bet, and I honestly think a micro mart would be the best bet for those two locations. And then I just want to touch on the third location that we've been talking about making, like an all vending location. Part of the thing that I would propose that if we did do that, made it into two micro marts and a vending, that the vending location that person must visit all the sites that they have, even though they're vending, to make their presence known to the building in which they are at, and make sure that the machines are being stocked, and, you know, give a name and a face to the vending services.
Okay, I'll piggyback off that, Brandy. Good suggestions. I would definitely say that, you know, any opportunity that we present, if you accept an opportunity, then you still have a responsibility to Brandy's point, show your face, you know, build communication in any aspect. So with the vending machines, I would say that some of these locations are high-profile buildings and can't just necessarily get into them. But what I would say is, if anyone accepts the vending route, they must, and we'll provide, at least reach out to every vending location, whether it's via phone or in person, periodically, and we can set the terms of that periodically. It doesn't have to be every week, because somebody's not hear from you in regards to vending every week, but maybe once a month or something, because you'll have 70, 75 depends on how many machines are in a location, but you'll probably have a good 40 to 50 locations, physical locations, in which you would want to reach out and be sure that they're receiving satisfactory service. So I agree. This is not going to be any ouch opportunity. There will still be required work, and it may just be a different in the capacity in which you're doing. It may not be in the physical, but it may be running your battery dead on your cell phone or your and just staying in communication with those that you provide a service to.
Well, this is Shelley again. Question. So are these opportunities going first to the people who are now not working, then the promotion and transfer list? Or it's just going to go to promotion and transfer?
Yeah, unfortunately, the way we have to stay within the regulations. So regulations state that this is the way our regs are. It's, based off seniority. So to go that route. But again, I anticipate, and again, I have to pitch this to Servomation. I have to talk to the postmaster. There are many steps in front of making this determination. What today's call is if the committee agrees to go on this, then, you know, we'll be able to proceed to reaching out to the necessary folks to establish this and make this a reality. But there are many steps ahead, and I would say that realistically, we probably could get these micro markets, at least the micro markets, up and running by March, maybe sooner. I don't know. It's contingent on what the post office comes back with. They may say, you know, I have to bring this to another level, and you know, so we're really on other people's time with, you know, getting this fostered and creating this opportunity. But I would say I could see this in place by March.
Is there a time frame for the federal people when they need to hear?
No. And that's the thing. So the federal government stated, we just need to work on becoming compliant. And they understand that work that's involved with, you know, abruptly changing the way our programs operate throughout the country in certain capacities. So there is no time frame. But I want to move as quick as I can. I'm not opposed to that. So, and who knows? Maybe we have to get it done soon in March. I don't know. But I'm just saying March should not drag out past March. But
okay, this is This is Frank again, and I'm happy with creating three opportunities. My biggest concern that I'm trying to get at here with the vending is just because their Servomation or whatever company is contractually obligated to fill the machines through this statewide vending contract doesn't mean that they would enter another agreement, especially at the same percentages or at all, to go into locations that aren't very viable. Is that a concern, or do you think we can retain?
We're removing, so Servomation is not our partner. Pepsi's our partner. Okay, Servomation is the subcontractor to Pepsi. So on record, it's really Pepsi. But I think that Servomation should, and again, if we're using today's numbers to project what the profitability is of these vending machines, then I would get the mindset that any operator who gets this vending opportunity could maybe try to increase their percentage share, or increase their profit directly with Servomation. And if Servomation said no, then at least accept the current statewide percentages. And then this way, at least what your average should remain to look like. But I do believe Servomation, once you go into an agreement directly with Servomation, I would believe that Servomation at that point would say, and I'm just going to use you, Frank, as an example. Frank, by contract, we had to fill, blah, blah, blah location. But really, that's a dog location. So I don't want to fill that location. I was just doing it because I was on contract and really had no choice. And this is essentially, that location was a loss leader. But when you go into direct partnership with Servomation, they may have more vocal input, which you would have to essentially respect, right? I mean, because nobody's here to lose business. So I would say that, my point is, if there were 70 machines to date that we're considering as vending routes, Servomation might cut that list down to 55 or 58 and have documentation to prove to you why it should only be 55 or 58. And I think as a partner, you have to be respectful to your partner's responsibility and their bottom line. So I think you have to look at it both ways when you go into any partnership, that it can't just be, well, this is what Besby has, so you have to. Because technically, at that point, Servomation does not have to.
Right, right. And would you also say the vending route would be the same as the third-party micro markets, with you're not going to offer the incentive to that, correct?
I would say so, yes. I would say that, I think the biggest incentive, because in truth of the matter is, micro markets, regardless of what an operator makes, you can't look at it as the 40-hour projected profitability, right? I mean, VR doesn't even look at it that way. So, what I'm saying is, if an operator made $500 or $600 for the month, and they spent an average of 2 hours a week in the facility, you made $500 of 8 hours worth of work. Okay, so that's how it has to be looked at. So, the incentive is more or less to provide that to those that are doing everything they possibly can to stay afloat, and listening to suggestions and basically having the allowance to create additional opportunity. The micromarket come as a base, and Servomation is your base plate. When I go back and I say, there's room to advance your micromarket, you're already providing what is expected to be provided. Anything else is just above and beyond, what you can anticipate to receive from a profitability standpoint on a month-to-month basis. It's not so much so in an incentive period. It doesn't really incentivize, the need. But these three potential new opportunities, I am not of the mindset it should be an incentive offered opportunity.
Okay. Does anyone else have anything to discuss before we take it to vote? All right. Would someone like to make a motion?
I make a motion to look at the three, look at the federal contracts that we have and split them into three opportunities. Two micromarts and a vending opportunity.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'm Carmelo, I'll second the motion.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say no. Any abstentions? Okay, motion carried.
All right, good. That's a good. All right, agency update. Just want to let you all know, we actually received notification yesterday from our HR department with the expectation that there's going to be another telework model coming our way beginning January 1 to June 30th, 2022. At this time, they submitted telework applications for us to all fill out. There really isn't any parameters as to how much time we can telework. However, that's because the discussion of the cap allowance is actually an arbitration in which they believe should be finalized mid-December. But I just wanted to let you all know that there is definitely the telework model resuming, at least for the next 6 months as well. So for you know, locations in which we really tinkered with go and hold out and go micromarket or try to wait for cafeteria opportunity, I think this right here supports our determination that we were right in line with what we kind of anticipated, that the telework model was potentially going to resume in some capacity. So I think once I hear some kind of final word, I will just send everyone an email letting everyone know as to how, you know, state governments, the final determination as to what was allowed for a cap, so everyone can just kind of be prepared to know what their customer base is going to look like for the next half of next year. Outside of that, I have meeting proposal dates, so I have March 8th, 2022, June 7th, 2022, September 13th, 2022, and December 6th, 2022. Does the committee have any objections to that? Those are all Tuesday dates. By the way. Sounds good. Okay. So we will do that. What do you guys think for times? Is there like, and I don't want to drag this out, but is there a specific time that works better for a majority? Like, I know, Rich, you're actually active work. When we started these times, thought he was out of work. So do we want to move the time up, down?
I think like 3 or 4 would work better if you can.
Yeah, I've been down a little bit. Because for me, I've done the meeting flat out. It's lunch time.
So, yeah, I think later times would be best for me as well.
Later time?
Yeah.
Later.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, that's fine. So let's do 3 o'clock. Does that work? Is that better?
Yeah,
that's better, yeah.
Yes. Sounds better.
All right. We'll do 3 o'clock going forward. That's not a problem. Outside of that, I have nothing. Open forum. Does anyone have anything that they may
Tyrell, we need a motion to accept the proposed meeting dates.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
As well as the 3 o'clock time.
Yeah, they can.
Okay. Thanks. Does anyone want to make a motion to accept the meeting dates and times?
Please make a motion to accept the next year's meeting dates at a time beginning at 3 p.m.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Keith Haley.
Thank you.
Do I have a second?
Aye, Brandy, second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed say no. Motion carries.
Okay. Last item, open forum. Anyone have anything they want to...
This is Frank. I do have one quick thing that I want to just kind of run by you. Is it at all possible if we created a subcommittee for the purpose of training and acceptance?
Please, anybody that... Please mute your phone because I couldn't hear one word you said. Go ahead, Frank.
Okay. If we were able to form a subcommittee for training and accepting new operators into the program, would the agency have any problem acknowledging that subcommittee?
What exactly are you, what's your position in the subcommittee to offer?
I just want to protect the integrity of the blind entrepreneur, and in the past we've had some very skeptical people that just came into the program and have been problems, and I just want to make sure we're bringing in blind operators that can comprehend running a successful business.
I would say...
Is that a Tyrell question? That's overall, because then you may get into a sticky situation of some sort of bias. I mean...
Yeah.
If they're not going to pass the training, let alone CERSAFE, they'll do all that on themselves.
Yeah, because I would say that you really wouldn't, Frank, want it. I understand what you're saying, but very messy, because I've been here, crazy discriminatory cases occur based off of facts and not based off of anyone's assessment. So, you know, it is the agency's job to filter, you know, candidates in which we believe are capable of operating, and there's a very fine line of making a determination as to if someone qualifies based off of skill or doesn't qualify based off of maybe other non-disclosed disabilities in which you don't realize may be the reason for someone's lack of knowledge or lack of ability, but you also have to be respectful to that. So I would say no, you wouldn't want to do that, because there's information that our agency sees behind the scenes, more or less in their personal files, there that I can be able to, you know, assess why this person or what their disability may be. But yet we still have to work within the parameters of offering, and then allow for the field rep and myself to, you know, make a final assessment as to a yay or nay and be able to stand on it, because I've been around where I've seen a couple of projected people file cases that were not the intent of the determination, and it got pretty nasty. So I would just say you wouldn't really want to be part of that, because you could potentially be part of legal ramifications to it. So we would definitely do my best to.
What is the requirement of an operator entering the program? Is there any training required?
Yeah, in fact there is. I actually set up what we want to use is, gosh, I'm drawing a blank. Yes, there is. The online, what's the school in Massachusetts?
Hadley.
Yes. Thank you. So Hadley has a program. And Frank, I think you know, so you remember when we were closed, right? When majority of the operations were closed, Hadley came in and they offered, or they had the online program in which, you know, each, and VR offers it.